customers.
Just gonna wait for him to come back and give us a thumbs up. So.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording and broadcasting. The floor is
all right. I'd like to call the June 13th meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Madam Clerk, can I have you call the roll, please?
Yes, good morning. Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
And Chair Villacana?
Here. If I could have everybody stand and join me in the flag, please. Is there any public comment on matters not listed on the agenda?
No reflective speak on public comment.
Okay, all right, go ahead. Close public comment. And Mark, are there any planning updates?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chair, Planning Commissioners, Mark Lurie, Deputy Director of Planning and Building. I am here and back with you with mixed emotions today. We've all heard that Aaron Singwall has left us. He's joined the City of Morro Bay for a great opportunity and best. You want to say Ireland was an incredible support for me in my 3 years here. Great support for our staff. He thoroughly enjoyed working with all of you and wanted to express his gratitude and appreciation for spending with you guys. And we wish him the best. And he was a great contributor to our community, so and he will continue to do that. I wanted to thank you all for your flexibility in this new venue that we're in. Intimate, tight, close. We'll see how it goes. I think this is the first hearing they've held in this room since the remodel started, so we're the guinea pigs. We'll see how this goes, but thank you all for your flexibility. So Board of Supervisor action of interest for you, their May 21st meeting, the Board approved the Welcome Home Village project as 80 units of supportive residential housing located in the corner of Johnston and Bishop Street in San Luis Obispo. So we wanted to note that for you guys. Also at the budget hearings that were held last week on June 3rd, Board approved the planning and building budget for the fiscal year 2024-2025. And of note in that action, they ungrade a long-range senior planner position that had been grayed out, and that will allow planning and building to post that position and fill that position, which will assist in supporting Board's 2024-2025 housing implementation plan, which is for you, which was a board priority. On the docket for your June 27th meeting, you have two items, determination of conformity with the county general plan for the acquisition of approximately 748 acres from Chevron Land and Development Company for a future park and open space as identified in the county general plan, park and rec element. County's local coastal program identifies this area as the Estero Marine Terminal with policies promoting the use of the property for recreational activities such as parks and trails. These lots are located between the community of Ecos and the City of Morro Bay, the Estero area. And one hearing item for the next meeting is a proposed project requested by Mitrick Farms for land use ordinance to amend planning area standards and the community plan standards to include single family allowable principal on 10-acre parcel. The project includes the current processing of a vesting tentative tract map, CUPs to subdivide the project into 23 lots to facilitate construction of 22 single family residential units. The project would be located at 301 North Main Street. There's one item currently on the docket for your the July 11th meeting. And to date, I believe the July 25th meeting has been canceled because we do not have a quorum. And I believe that completes our staff updates.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Thank you for those updates. All right, consent agenda. I believe there is a public comment on the consent agenda.
We do have a request to speak from Mr. Jim Harrison.
My name is James Harrison. Do you know me? Well, you don't. I'm here to talk about the disc golf course that you proposed into the Napoma Park. Not opposed to the disc park and neither riding groups down there. What we are opposed to is the fact that it crosses the equestrian trail seven times. And we don't believe that a disc golf versus compatible with the questions. Rhino-Pomo has had a contract or agreement with county parks for a number of years now, and we help maintain the trails. We paid for about half the gravel that went into the staging area there by the basketball courts. And we just think it's interesting that we didn't find out about this Frisbee Golf or this golf course until about a week. No one told us you're going to do it. Suddenly we find out that you're planning on creating a hazard to those riders that ride these trails. If you guys are familiar surely with horses, and if you throw a flying object to a horse or at a horse, he's not going to like it. People on the horse aren't going to like it. Sometimes the people throwing the disc aren't going to like it. So what we would like to see is that we have an opportunity to sit down with the people that design this course and talk to them with them in the parks, try to figure out a way that we could do this without crossing the equestrian trails.
Are there any other public comments on this issue?
No additional requests.
All right, we'll go ahead and close public comment on the consent agenda and bring it back to
I have questions relative to this gentleman just spoke. Is this officially becoming before us, or who's this going to come before? I understand where you're coming from, but who's going to listen to me?
Well, what it said in the on the computer was this is an addendum to this meeting. That's why I'm here.
So could I follow up on that? And this is our consent agenda. So I would like to pull this item and item 3 and item 5 from consent for discussion.
You want to pull the minutes?
Just one correction there. I mean, one item. So yes, okay. Or amend them.
Okay, so we are pulling, let's go.
I don't know what our new number for this item that.
Just an added item. It's so
the added, the addendum item.
So can we just take those one at a time then? Maybe let's start with just the Planning Commission meeting of the 3rd. Would this be the right way to do it?
Yeah,
hold on. Let's go ahead and take a concern on the minutes.
Okay, please. Just on item on the minutes of May 9th, on the item 3, item 6, there's just no vote marked for Shaw on item 6.
Okay.
So just one small change.
And then so the only other thing you wanted to base, I agree, I think we should pull the added addendum item as well. So maybe we'll just do a vote on the consent agenda for item now 3, 4, and 5 without the added item.
I'd like to pull 5.
The whole 5 burn.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So let me clarify, John, the County Council office, you can discuss any of them. It's just, you would pull it if you want a separate vote on a particular item.
I do. That too.
Okay.
Thanks.
So why don't we just vote on the minutes then first? Okay. If I could get a motion on the items 3 and 4 of the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
All right, so we have a motion and a second on items 3 and 4 of the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yep.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
And Chair Villaclan?
Yes. All right, so now we want to bring the first part of item 5 is the second time extension for Santa Margarita Ranch for discussion. Would we be doing a staff presentation on this, or is this just straight up to the commission to discuss?
You can do either way. I don't know if staff has a presentation for this, but.
Well, maybe we can hear your concern first.
Well, yeah, sure. I'll start on this since we've opened it. So this was a controversial project before the commission I sat on in 2008. And the commission I sat on voted to the project. We had lots of options for different layouts on the parcel. And the Board of Supervisors reversed the Planning Commission and approved the project. And so we're now, 16 years later? Herein, and the commission's decision to deny this project was based on 24 inconsistencies with county applicable plans and ordinances, and I forget how many class one environmental impacts. And so there were lots of problems here. So I'm a bit interested that this comes back to us on consent now, but that's another matter. But the League of Women Voters, the Upper Salinas Los Pueblos Resource Conservation District, Sierra Club,
California Native Plant Society, Oak Foundation, Morro Coast Audubon, Santa Margarita area residents, Heather and Eco Slow, all weighed in against this project and the EIR due to its substantial community and environmental impacts. And so I understand 14 years have passed, and usually we just approve these extensions, but I'd like to move that we deny this extension for the same reasons that we initially denied the project at the Planning Commission in 2008.
I may. I'm very familiar with this ranch, but I'm not familiar with that hearing because I didn't just hear then. So I'm a little lost, and I understand where various people are coming from, including the public. But I don't even know what part of a very, very large ranch we're talking about.
Well,
we're going to need to get that before I can make a decision.
And you have to take public comment before you can make a a motion on that.
Yeah.
And if there is three votes to deny, I would ask that give us some time to talk to you about that, because the deny it on the basis of the original concern. So what was before you is a time extension. It's not the original project, right? So you have to ask, you know, what about this time are we be denying it for, right? Not because of the original project that was approved. It has to be on because of this. Why are we saying no to the time extension itself, right? So we probably want to articulate that, but I'm kind of trying to read the commission as to where those votes might lie. So I don't want to get ahead of myself if the extension is going to happen, but you do have to take public comment.
And thanks for that. So that was kind of quick on it. And it is interesting just having this on consent, because I don't remember having these time extensions on consent before and having so little information. So that is some of the procedural challenge here.
Is it appropriate then to remove this from the consent agenda and put it in our regular format?
Well, you pulled it from consent. You're deliberating. You're talking about it. You need to take public comment.
Well, that's happening.
Yeah,
already.
It's happening right now.
So, hold on. Let's go ahead.
Oh, it's happening. Okay.
Is there any public comment on?
No,
okay.
Rob's here.
Yeah. Good morning. Sorry. Rob Rossi with Margarita Ranch. And actually, I think everything Ian said is true of that moment. There's one other factor. It's done. It's built. And the water system's complete, and it's just waiting for annexation. So this is a technical extension. Roads are done. The utilities are done. The grading's done. And it's been sitting there for a year waiting for annexation.
Rob, whereabouts on the ranch?
South of the town.
South of the town.
Off of Pozo Road.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Is that appropriate to comment?
Well, I'll close public comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing John say is it seems like procedurally right now, it wouldn't be appropriate for us to reopen the item even now, or even if we brought it back, because that would be almost like we're having an appeal here or a second bite at the apple, which is not appropriate. So really, the only reason we would deny this is if we thought it didn't meet the criterion for an extension. And we have been looking at these on consent because it's now state mandated pretty much, and it seems to be a state mandated criterion. So I just don't think legally we really... I don't see a reason to deny legally.
So, we actually have a motion. Do we have a second on the motion to end?
I'm going to pull the motion. I would have talked to staff about this earlier in the week to understand our sort of constraints in the matter and understand a little more. And we have very little information on this consent item. And so that's on me doing the reading and not having a chance to kind of understand where it's at. Having received public comment that the utilities are in, and we're in a procedural matter, that motion isn't going to serve much of a purpose at this point.
All right.
So it's withdrawn.
Okay. So with that, then I'll look for actually a motion to approve. We're just looking at the time extension here then. So
moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And I got a second. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chair Buchanan?
Yes. All right, and then I would like to move on to to the added item of the disc golf course. I guess we'll start with the discussion. Is there any sort of presentation on this one? Unless
I have a problem with Calumet County Parks, I don't have a presentation. I'm available for questions.
Okay, thank you. So I guess to bring it back right to the commission for discussion.
I have a question.
Yes.
So just procedurally again, we are determining that this is in conformity with the general plan. But what happens after that? Is that when they talk about the design some more, or is this the last hurdle?
This is Calumet County Parks. This is just to say it's kind of a first step. This is consistent with the general plan. And then as we move forward with actual funding and construction, then we would be reaching out more. It's a first step.
So would you say that this is just saying, and I think I heard the commenter say too, this is not an inappropriate place for disc golf. Like that's what we'd be saying. But then down the road, you work with the community on like, we need a design that fits everyone.
So this, we have worked so far with the proponent, which is a citizen in Napomo who has some opportunities to maybe create this, and also with our board of supervisors. Now we're making sure it's consistent because it is a temporary use. In our Napomo Park Master Plan, this is the site of a future community center and then a future staging center for equestrians and other things that we don't have funding for. So because it's a temporary use, we kind of wanted to come here and check in with you guys and make sure that you guys thought that was. So yeah, so now that we are aware that there's some concerns, I think there's some easy tweaks that we could, you know, shorten some of the flight routes. Most of the impact, you know, the crossings are the Frisbee golf users using the existing trails that the equestrians also use. So I think there's some minor tweaks that could be done to minimize.
So even would you be required to do that? Meaning no. So if we say yes now, you could go forward with the design as presented. I mean, hopefully you wouldn't.
Technically we could, yes.
Okay.
But we don't. Yeah. I mean, we're inclusive, especially in a lot of knowledge. And now that we're aware there's issues and talking to Mr. Walton, our crowd, it seems like there's some minor.
Thank you.
So I'm concerned about approving something as well, just with the issue of horses. I mean, that's something going the wrong direction. Is this something that we can actually pull and bring back at a later date and get a little bit more, yeah, we have a staff update?
And you're perfect to consider it if you'd like.
I'd be more comfortable if the negotiation happened and the discussion happened and then everyone was more comfortable and then you brought it back.
So kind of looking at the commission, if we could get a motion for a continuance on this item, I think it might be appropriate.
I'll move for a continuance.
To a date uncertain?
To a date uncertain.
Cool. So any public comment again on this? So
it took your public comment.
Okay, let me get. We have a motion for a continuance to a date
uncertain.
Second.
We got a second. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chair Buchanan?
Yes. Thank you. That was a challenging consent agenda. So thank you all. All right. Madam Clerk, can you introduce the first hearing item?
Today's first hearing is a hearing to consider a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to amend the county inland and coastal zone land use ordinances and the local municipal plan to update the flood hazard area standards and associated definitions for updated flood hazard data from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and this is exempt from CEQA, County File LRP 2024-00003. This applies to all gubernatorial districts. Project manager Kylie Fonsi presenting today.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good morning. My name is Dave Morris with the Planning Department, and I will be presenting on behalf of Planner Kylie Fonsi. The item before you this morning is the flood hazard standard. So we'll start with a bit of background on the proposed updates. Proposed update to the flood hazard standards consists of minor modifications to the county's floodplain management ordinance as required by the Federal Emergency Agency, or FEMA. FEMA manages the National Flood Insurance Program. Those amendments were requested by FEMA as part of their standard review of county ordinances, which are triggered by their flood hazard map update. Map update process was initiated by FEMA in 2022 and consisted of new flood hazard maps for portions of the Salinas River, San Luis Obispo Creek, Herrero Creek, and Meadow Creek. Public Works worked closely with FEMA during this process by providing input and conducting community outreach to advisory councils to affected areas in fall of 2022. New flood maps took effect June 6, 2024, per FEMA's purview. Our county ordinance reflects those maps by reference. As part of their standard review process for every map update, FEMA reviews the county's floodplain management ordinance and provides recommended changes. And those were provided in January of 2024. The ordinance updates themselves are the result of FEMA's proposed changes and consist of updating references and definitions to be consistent with the new FEMA flood data and floodplain management guidance. Proposed changes also include moving flood hazard specific definitions to the appropriate ordinance sections for clarity of reference. It is important to note that the amendments would not result in substantial changes to the duties and responsibilities of the floodplain administrator or the project review process. It has been determined that the ordinance amendments consist of minor changes to existing floodplain management regulations, not have a significant effect on the environment. And a notice of exemption has been prepared pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 1562. With that, it is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission recommend the Board of Supervisors amend the County Inland and Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinances, the local coastal plan to update the flood hazard area standards and associated definitions for the updated FEMA flood hazard data. Should be noted, Public Works administers the floodplain management ordinance, so we have Public Works available for questions and also available for questions to the staff's presentation. Thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions for staff at this point? Is there any public comment on this item?
No request to speak.
We'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion.
I'll start with one question still, I guess, that before we would maybe make a motion. I feel like these flood maps have been, or changes in the maps are well understood. And we didn't have reference to any of the map changes. Do you feel like understanding that the ordinance that we're looking at are kind of cleanup language, but the maps themselves, do you feel like they're substantial changes? And if people, the public understands them?
I'll defer to Public Works, Matt.
Chair Beard, Public Works. So great question, and yes. So just to remember too, so this ordinance that is being provided to you today for recommendation for approval is separate and distinct from the maps itself. I just wanna back up a little bit on the ordinance for us for Public Works is a great cleanup item. It helps with readability for the public and for Public Works as we have to review this language as well when we do construction standards or review applications for construction standards and so forth. There's a couple notable things I did want to say which benefits the constituents that were brought into this ordinance, which has been a cleanup item Public Works has wanted to bring to it for a couple of years now. In this case of, this might be minor, but you know, septic systems in a flood hazard area would normally require a board supervisor's variance to get that approved. The other item is garages, you know, attached to residential units that are, you know, set them at a certain elevation. So you'd have to go to the board supervisor for a variance to actually build a garage below a certain elevation. So that actually helps us not have to take those to the board of supervisors. So it is a benefit to the constituents with the language that has been updated for Title 22, 23 Inland and Coastal. So as far as like the map updates themselves, not too much substance to that. There's been basically the effect is half of Creston Township and then areas to south of San Miguel in the ag areas and then Avila Valley. Result of those map updates translates to basically 259 parcels that have been brought in to it. There's been other parcels that were affected. For instance, flood hazard areas have a number of designations, like Zone A and then Zone AE. So a lot of those, there's additional parcels that were in Zone A that are now Zone AE, which just means there's an elevation assigned to those areas. So not substantial changes. But the other question that you had with, you know, do people understand what these map updates are? Yes. So Public Works, we actually have representatives from Water Resources. They did go out, they engaged the community to basically show what FEMA is doing with their map updates. Here's how you were affected. So that was done. There was outreach done to help the public that are affected by these updates to help understand what was being done by FEMA.
Okay. So that outreach was targeted. And if I heard you right, then it was 259 parcels that got pulled into flood designations that weren't in flood designations previously, and some number that designation that already had some.
Correct, yes.
And so you feel like you hit the kind of 259 specifically affected property owners or got some outreach information.
Absolutely, yeah. Outreach via actual engagement, community meetings were held to engage folks to understand what was happening.
Okay, that's wonderful to hear because I think that the flood designations are generally confusing. And right now we have such a mess and turmoil around changing insurance, certainly for fires, and I think the flood-related insurable issues. And right now we're seeing a lot of fear around.
I will add that the language in the ordinance is derivative of federal law, so federal regulation. So FEMA floodplain management criteria for floodplain from areas. It develops language that needs to be included in each agency's floodplain regulation. So then FEMA will then subsidize the insurance rates for those areas. So they have to match. So
understood that this kind of ties in there in the requirements. But I still think there's a disconnect between the requirements and what average citizens we understand. And there's so much fear now with fire insurance, and I can't, it's every other day I hear someone's insurance is getting canceled during winter. Anything else there? We're ready for a motion on that.
I just had a follow-up. So these 259 new parcels and flood designations, it sounds like that's a good thing for them because FEMA will match the insurance. I mean, is it a good thing or a bad thing as far as like your property value?
Well, so if you're being put into a flood area, it's not a good thing for your property. But
that's what I'm wondering.
But I mean, there's ways to deal with that, right? I mean, and if it isn't a floodplain, that's just the reality of how you should construct buildings there. The language that's being proposed, the changes in our floodplain regulations are, again, derivative of what the feds require us to have. So then when they say, hey, we'll help subsidize insurance rates for flood in those areas, we know that buildings will be constructed based on certain criteria, and therefore we're okay with helping out the insurance over there. So make the changes so make sure we get subsidized insurance for flood. And
but what about the people who are already built in that area?
They're kind of grandfathered in.
Okay.
Yeah. But ultimately, they were built based on the flood maps that we knew at the time.
Right. And so when they go to sell their home now, this is something they have to disclose. A higher. I was wondering if they have 259 emails from people or. Okay.
Who's district?
Thank you.
District.
Yeah.
In Apple, okay. San Miguel, and where else did
Preston.
You Preston. It's on Don.
So we'll make a motion. Okay. Unless there's further questions, I will look for a motion on this item.
Okay, so I'll recommend that the we move this to the Board of Supervisors to amend the county inland and coastal in the local coastal plan to update the flood hazard area standards and associated definitions for updated FEMA flood hazard data.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yep.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chair Viacconi?
Yes. Thank you. Madam Clerk, did you need a minute to switch things over, or are we good?
Yeah, I think quick break. Call for like a 5-minute break.
Okay, I would like to take a 5-minute break, please.
Sure.
All right, I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting back to order. Madam Clerk, can you introduce the next hearing item, please?
Yes, our final hearing today is a hearing to consider a request by Michael Ticone and Shauna Bryan for a variance to allow for grading on slopes exceeding 30% for the purpose of widening and constructing an all-weather access road in approximately 2,400 square foot single-family dwelling within 983 square foot detached garage, workshop, and other site improvements that include a water tank and septic field. This is County File N-CRC 2022-00034. This is in Supervisorial District 1 and 2, Project Manager Mason.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good morning, Chairperson Viacana, members of the Commission. Mason Denning, Sill County Planning and Building. Project before you today is a request by Mike Ticone and Sean O'Brien for a variance of the project file in. Apologies, one moment. Apologies. New venue. I believe someone said it was the first hearing we've had in here. So again, thank you, Madam Clerk. My name is Mason Denning, Sill County Planning and Building. Good morning, members of the Commission and Chair Viacana. The project before you today is a request for variance by Michael Ticone and Shauna Bryan from this county project file in DRC 2022-00034. That is a request for a variance to grade on slopes exceeding 30% for the purpose of widening and weatherizing an existing access road to serve an approximately 2,400 square foot single family residence and an approximately 983 square foot detached garage workshop. Site improvements including a water tank and a septic leach field. The project will result in approximately 50,670 square feet of disturbance or 1.16 acres that will include 1,870 cubic yards of 985 cubic yards of fill. Important to note that excess fill material will be spread on the project site. Post project is located on an 18-acre parcel adjacent to Santa Rosa Creek Road, approximately 9.5 miles west of the community of Templeton. You'll note on the right side of your screen, or east of the project site, and approximately equidistant or 10 miles east of the Cambria, community of Cambria, which you'll note on the left side of your screen, west of the project site. Parcel is located within the agriculture land use category. Adjacent land uses include agriculture to the north, east, and west, and rural lands to the south. Here we're looking at the parcel with aerial imagery. You'll note that the parcel has two distinct areas, one north and one south of Santa Rosa Creek Road, which bisects the parcel. All development for the proposed project will occur on the northern portion, and excess fill material from grading will be spread on the southern portion of the parcel. Here we see the overall site plan. It shows that the project is located primarily on the west side of the parcel. Is adjacent to Santa Rosa Creek Road, with the proposed driveway heading to the northwest section of the parcel for the residences. You'll note on the left image that the location of the spread area for the excess fill on the southern half of the project site is outlined in red. For this slide, we're looking at a slope map from the county's GIS software. You'll note that the vast majority of the project site is in excess of 30% slopes, triggering the need for a variance to develop the parcel. In accordance with County Land Use Ordinance Section 22.62.070.D, provided the findings on your screens are made, Commission may approve a variance for the project. Staff have made the following findings.
One, the variance would not constitute a grant of special privileges inconsistent with other properties in the vicinity. There are several single-family residences within the neighboring area. Two, there are special circumstances affecting the parcel. The average slope is greater than 30%. That's of topographic concerns. As previously mentioned and shown via the slope map, there's no other route to access the developer property without the request for a variance to grade on slopes exceeding 30%. Further, the proposed route is the least environmentally impactful and minimizes the amount of grading required due to the pre-existing driveway and access road. Three, the request to allow grading is associated with development of single-family residence, which is allowed on the parcel by right by a county land use ordinance Title 22. And four, the project would adversely affect the health or safety of individuals is not material detrimental the public welfare, as it is located on a private parcel with limited and no public access. Mitigated negative declaration, or MND, was prepared pursuant to Public Resources Code Section 21,000 and was issued for the project on May 1st, 2024. The MND incorporated mitigation measures that address potential impacts related to air quality, biological resources, geology and soils, hazards and hazardous materials, and mandatory findings of significance are included as conditions of approval for this project. These measures have been included, again, as conditions of approval, and no public comments on the MND. Staff is recommending adoption of the MND pursuant to Public Resources Code Section 21,000 and California Code of Regulations Section 15,000, the approval of variance in DRC 2022-00034, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A, the conditions listed in Exhibit B. Additionally, planning staff have received no public correspondence related to this project. We did receive outreach from one neighbor surrounding the project site with questions related to the design of the parcel and where the development will be occurring. They noted that there's no concerns related to the project. Should there be any questions, staff are happy to assist. Joining us today is the agent, Pam Tardini of Planning Solutions, and the applicant, Michael Ciccone, and Charlotte Moran. This includes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions for staff at this point?
I don't know if there's any expert. So,
yeah. Are there any expert names? Any questions for staff? Is there an applicant that would like to make a presentation?
Good morning, Commissioners. Tamela Giardini with Planning Solutions. I'm here today representing the Ciccones and Brian. Shauna and Michael are here in the audience. Should you have any questions to them? And so they purchased this land a little while ago, and due diligence, they gave me plus because I think they had more information given me than ever before. And one of them was that there was an encroachment permit issued for this roadway back in probably 77 by its number when driveways weren't required to have a 30% or have a variance for creating 30%. And so I thought that was important for you to see because this roadway has been cut in for quite some time and we're probably here. Well, we're here for the variance because the roadway, even though I don't have a car on this, is about 10 feet wide. So we have to widen it for a CAL FIRE, which means an over 80% of those areas. So here is the San Luis Obispo County proof of the encroachment permit. Unfortunately, we don't have a grading permit that we can show you. I don't know if they required them at that time. We did do more research on it. We did find, or my clients found, receipts for paying the people to grade the road way back then, but that's all we had to substantiate it to this, to show you that it was making sense. We know the previous owners did drive up their recreational vehicle up to the site. So this is the entrance to the property off of Santa Rosa Creek Road, and what we're assuming they got the encroachment permit for. And I'll be quick on these slides, but just to give you an idea, please notice all the vegetation on site too. They're doing a good job of avoiding the right here at this turn, CAL FIRE. Of course, we have to make those standards, and we are being able to preserve the trees right there as we do. So up the driveway again, another open area, so no vegetation. It gently slopes. I was able to drive my car up there, which does not have four-wheel drive. And the only concern was this of the road. Coming up the road, I know this is very exciting, but I want you to get a feel for the slopes to see it's not super steep. It just becomes steep in spots. Now we head into the thick. Then at this point, the road kind of crests and goes down, crosses a creek. There you can see on the left and right hand side, there will be no disturbance to the creek. No jurisdictional permit is going to be needed. Going to be the building site. One more, it goes up again a little bit, crests there, and goes into the building site. And this building site, my clients didn't remove any of the trees. They did have it staked out, so they can figure out the footprint of the house that's on the area that's been probably previously graded by PSM. This is where the house is sitting. Off to the right is where the garage and workshop will go. And again, the house is not very big. It's one story. It is broken up. It's architecturally done. This is the one tree that will be impacted, unfortunately. We're just a tree. My client is a landscape designer. I'm still crying over that, having to take it out. But there was really no other way to get around this. We look at alternate sites just on the other side, but when we go to the other side of the tree. Here's the design of the house. It's one story. As you can see, it's broken up by different wings of the house, so it fits into the hillside. It's at maximum height, feet, so it's below the requirement for business. Again, is some visual view, so you can see residence that's proposed and the garage and work. Off to the right where the tree is. This is a picture of the downside. There are alternate sites, and it's really steep. And so it was going to be way more environmental load in. It's right down below. So we stay with the existing load up there. Questions?
Thank you for the presentation. Any questions?
Will the residents have an ADU?
There's no ADU proposed at this time, but of course, an ADU is allowed and would be, I believe, a ministerial permit for them and put it down if there was room and if they just.
And then, so from what you're saying, all of this, is it all of the road that already exists? Or, okay, just widening.
Yeah. I only have proof of the encroachment permit, but we do have, or we did have proof of grading contractors' costs for doing the road. You know that the owner beforehand used to drive his RV up to the site that was cleared there. So
it's there.
It's You're there. Just... What causes 30% variance is we have to widen for CAL FIRE.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other question? Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item?
No request to speak.
All right. So I'll go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the.
Well, so I've got one question then, probably to JR, just around public safety, since our finding four is around public safety. And I love this road, Santa Rosa Creek, but I rarely go there on my bike because the road surface is so bad that on a recent ride, the Cypress Mountain, you know, the dirt road was smoother than the paved Santa Rosa Creek. The surface is so bad, it's just not really safe to ride bouncing down. And so also beyond the bounciness problem, which I guess big tires or a truck can handle, the bigger problem for public safety is several stretches along the creek have eroded and are down to one lane, at least below there on the creek road. I'm not that familiar with the area above between this parcel and Highway 46. But I'm just wondering about the safety levels or how we gauge safety putting more residences on this road that's a threat. The county hasn't fixed, I don't know how anyone's going to fix these areas that have eroded. And we can just guess during more severe storm events, they're going to get worse more quickly than we can make them better. So just wanted to get a little bit of sense of how you analyze that as we're looking at putting more residential.
J.R. Beard, Public Works. So when we analyze projects, we look at such things as, you know, how much traffic is this project going to generate? So for us, a single family home only generates 10 trips per day. So, and this is a collector road. Granted, yeah, you look at it, it's pretty narrow, you know, it's not one of the better roads, but, you know, it's a road that the county does maintain. So for us, that's not a lot of trips put onto the road. So as far as like maintenance goes, we do have our maintenance program that the county has. I don't know, I'm not prepared to respond to when this road will be maintained, whether it's a surface seal or like a grinded day or something of that nature. But all roads at some point, they reach a certain point where the county has it in the program to do a maintenance. So to improve drivability and everything like that. What I will say is one thing that we look at in the case of, well, especially residential, I mean, it's a little lower risk, if you will, than commercial stuff. But residential, you know, we look at driveways where it's located on their frontage, on the roadway. One thing that's important to us is site distance. Can you look left? Can you look right? Can you see traffic, oncoming traffic? Can you get out safely? Can you get in safely? So that's one thing we would analyze at the when they submit their building permit application. We do have requirements for that. So, for instance, if there's vegetation that is too offensive and that it's like reaching into the roadway, we would ask the applicant to trim, you know, trim and maintain. And that's in our conditions of approval, actually, is to maintain your frontage. So that would be clearing any vegetation that's going to create site distance issues. Another thing that could be looked at in like windy roads, you think of like PG Canyon, other windy roads, you can't meet certain site distance criteria. Is there signage you can install on the roadway to help promote cautionary like curb ahead or driveway ahead? We do all that evaluation when they submit their building permit application to us, make it safer for them to get into and out of their property and warn other motorists that are on that road.
I will add John County Council's Office of the Board of Forestry and Fire Protection actually issues what's called state minimum fire safe regulations, which detail out when new development comes forward, what do those roads need to look like, right? And with single family homes, typically we just look at the home to the next public street. This is why these property owners need to actually widen that road because it is too narrow for fire access. If it's steep, you have to pave it. And so there's a lot of criteria that we look at. For bigger developments, you go further back, right? And sometimes
development is too big and too dense, and depending on what that road system looks like, it may not be allowed, right? Depending on the location. So they do look at that, and we have those regulations that are issued, that are issued by the Board of Forestry that we then adopt.
Thanks. Well, and so I get those kind of standards. I guess it's just on a road like this that has specific slippage issues. I understand it's not a lot of car trips. We're talking house and maybe a high number with the amount of bouncing out of there to get anywhere. And it's probably pretty high. But if there were an emergency or something in those tight areas of the road that are just down to one lane and dicey with some cones in the dark, and we just have some kind of specific sort of safety areas relative to that section of Santa Rosa Creek Road. I'm at least going on the downside toward one, and I'm not that familiar with the upside going to 46. But I don't want us to get put in a position where we're creating hazards down the line, because I just see those slippages getting worse, and I'm not sure how we're going to be able to fix them fast, if ever, as we get more slip outs. And then how are we going to get access to some of those houses up there? And I know there isn't really an answer to this, and I'm going to support this project, but I'm a bit troubled by adding density, because we are not subdividing here, and we always have a subdivided parcel that's entitled to have a house. I'm not going to oppose this, but I am a bit troubled for residents up there in some kind of emergency egress situation, as that road continues to erode. Harder to get up and down in worse situations, maybe where we could get some areas where the road goes below such a parcel and above it, residents are effectively kind of trapped in.
Jeremy, your Public Works, if I could add, so something that can be done too. So if the road is physically eroding away, then counting, we have 1,300 miles of road that we're maintaining. So it's really, unfortunately, on the residents to say, look, we've got a roadway that's eroding. Public Works, can you fix this? So that is certainly an option. 71-5252, get the phone number, the call, and we can do road maintenance on something like that. So if you have slope failure or roadway failure, then Public Works can be called, and they will repair it. I don't know if there's any sections of this that are part of, like, last year's storm damage. We had over 300 right. projects that were unfortunately generated from that. So if there is a project on here, then, it's got to be on the list somewhere. It's like a three-year program is what I understand to get all those repairs made from last year's storms.
Right. And so, that's exactly kind of the challenge. No blame. As the storms get stronger and more intense, I just don't see how anybody can keep up with them, knowing what backlog we have right now. And some realistic look that may keep up faster than we can fix. And looking at the extent of some of those slides and slip outs on that steep road and how little width of roadway is left, that it's just one narrow lane right now, and one could expect it may get worse before it gets better. That's a concern I have, and no answer.
I need some clarification. You're talking about going down in Santa Rosa to Cayuga, Cambria, or are you talking from Pass Road?
Yeah, I'm talking the area I know has several dangerous slip outs and at least several points where it's down to one lane, cones down, is on the downside for Cambria. Right.
So there is. I suspect it because I have good friends up there and we've been going there for 34 years and not experienced, well, some certainly, but are big. Storms, not experience what you're talking about. Assumption was it was down to Cambria. And probably, half the people or more use the ingress and egress to Pass Road rather than Cambria.
Right. And that's where I'm less familiar than to that question. So I don't know if there are some slide outs that way. Just guessing there could be some. So it doesn't create an immediate pickle for this parcel. But one could anticipate it could well, expecting more of this to happen, and knowing with 1,300 miles per
roads or whatever that Public Works is going to have a hard time keeping.
Any other comments? All right. Where are we here on that? Point, I would be looking for a motion.
I'll move that we adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the provisions of the CEQA Act, Public Resources Code 21,000, approve the variance based on the findings listed in A and the condition.
I'll second that motion.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Madam Clerk, can the roll call, please?
Commissioner Schwann?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chair Viacana?
Yes. All right, so that was the last hearing item. At this point, I will take a look for a motion to call testimony and correspondence into the record.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And now I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, the meeting adjourns. Thank you all very much. The meeting is over.
Sure.